Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Republican Congress members are down in Florida with President Doral. Here's Speaker Mike Johnson talking about it.
The big decisions will be made here in the next few days, and we'll align with the Senate and our colleagues there, and we will move forward on that agenda. The reconciliation process, the appropriations that we have to wrap up, and the other issues that are upon us. So all the Republicans are rolling their sleeves up. There is a lot of work being done. There has been a lot of work done behind the scenes up to lead us to this point. And we are really excited to deliver for the American people, and we will.
I cannot tell you how excited I am because, and I think a lot of you share this. Look, I framed this a little bit during the election. My first presidential election was 1984. I voted for Ronald Reagan. Philosophically, that's where I came of age. Politically, government is not the solution to our problems. Government is the problem. But I was honest. Look, Reagan didn't reduce the size and scope of government. Bush didn't do it. The next Bush didn't do it. Trump didn't do it the first time. This is a real opportunity to make impactful changes to the nonsense that's been going on for decades in Washington. And they are getting S done right now. And Missouri 3rd District Congressman, the newest member of Congress from Missouri, along with Wesley Bell, is Bob Onder. And he's down in Doral, Florida, with the Speaker and with the President and other members. Bob, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, Mark, it's great to be back. Doing great.
How exciting is this? Because it's really impressive. It's one thing to make campaign promises. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. It's a completely different thing that in the first week, barely a week into the administration, all of this is being accomplished and being discussed and actual action is being taken, Bob.
Well, that's right. I mean, Mark, it is exciting to be part of this process. I was extremely excited about Donald Trump's executive orders starting the first day, the evening he was inaugurated. I think many of your listeners probably watched Trump's speech at the Dome in Washington, D.C. And our good friend Will Scharf, who I worked with in Jefferson City, was the one reading those Trump executive orders that evening, all the way to the most recent one, which I believe happened in the last hour. Donald Trump directing the government to no longer pay for pediatric so-called gender transition care. It just makes no sense that federal tax dollars are being used for the quackery and butchery being done to our children in the name of gender ideology. So I couldn't be more honored and thrilled to be part of this process.
So are all the Republican House members down in Doral or not?
Not everyone. I believe there are about 218 of us. I would say we're at about 180, but a good portion of the caucus.
Well, so what's the focus? Obviously, the work is being done. The team is putting things together. What are you mainly talking about down there in Doral moving forward?
Yeah, I would say the main thing we are talking about is the so-called reconciliation bill, that what Donald Trump has called the big, beautiful bill, in which we will renew the Trump tax cuts, the 2017 Tax Cut and Jobs Act, at the same time provide funding for border security, make sane changes to energy policy so that we can again exploit affordable energy in our country and not beg foreign dictators for oil. And in order to pay for those tax cuts, and I don't like to talk about paying for tax cuts, because after all, when we cut taxes, we're just allowing people to keep more of their own hard-earned money.
I'm with you on that, too. That's that Washington math that they use. But
It's Washington math, but in order to avoid the filibuster in the U.S. Senate, where we do not have the 60 votes to avoid the filibuster, we have to do this game, this Washington math of, quote, paying for it. But in order to pay for it, we're going to do some things we ought to do anyway, like cut spending, like reform some of our welfare programs. You know, today, Mark, we have 10 million more Americans on Medicaid than we did right before the COVID pandemic. And likewise, since the COVID pandemic, we haven't been enforcing work requirements on TANF welfare checks and on food stamps. These work requirements have been phenomenally successful ever since Newt Gingrich and the Republican Congress and Bill Clinton passed welfare reform back in 1996. Not only do these reforms save money, but they restore to people the dignity of work. On average, it was found that a couple of years after the welfare reform bill of 1986, the average person leaving welfare was making twice as much household income as before the cuts. So we can do good policy and save money at the same time. And as you said in your lead-in, it is long, long, long overdue.
So let me get reaction to this. This is something the president said, I think, down there.
He's going to be very rich again, and it's going to happen very quickly. It's time for the United States to return to the system that made us richer and more powerful than ever before. Do you know, the United States in 1870 to 1913, all tariffs, and that was the richest period in the history of the United States, relatively speaking. In other words, relatively. And they set up the Great Tariff Commission of 1887. And this commission had one function: what to do with all the money that we took in.
Now, Congressman, I'm not smart enough to cross-check the math and to know how much might be involved here, but he seemed to be indicating that maybe tariffs could replace some, if not all, of the income tax.
Yeah. You know, since the 1910s, government has gotten so much bigger that we couldn't today replace the income tax with tariffs. But I think there is a recognition that tariffs are taxes, and that they could be used in places to generate revenue.
Let's have a discussion, right?
Yeah, that's part of the discussion. You know, of course, the famous Hawley-Smoot tariffs indeed were taxes, and Hawley-Smoot followed a year or two later by a massive tax increase is a good part of what put us into the Great Depression. I think what Donald Trump is doing in many cases, as with the threatened 25% tax on Colombian goods on Sunday, he is using it as a negotiating chip. And there's no question there are trade partners. I hate to call China a partner, but there are those countries like China that have been eating our lunch, exploiting unfair trade practices, stealing our intellectual property, stealing our technology, dumping goods in order to destroy our domestic industries. So I think the idea of just sitting back and taking it while other countries eat our lunch on trade policy is something that's going to end under Donald Trump.
On the immigration front, there's a lot of panic that is being exposed throughout the country. Look, I explained the situation this way to the audience a couple hours ago. I have a sister I love dearly. She works with some groups in Chicago, that Catholic charities that bring in some of the immigrants, not necessarily from South America or even Mexico, but from some countries where there really is, you know, an asylum process. And there's concern that the money is being cut off. Now, I heard Carolyn today in the press room, and by the way, I don't know if you got to see this, but she did a great job explaining that the spigot has been cut off temporarily to some of these programs, but individual assistance, if that has been established, is still going to come.
But again,
this is a situation where you're taking a look at these programs, you're reviewing them before you just open the bank account.
Well, that's right. And I think a big part of Donald Trump's cutting off the payments and loans today by executive order is in reaction to Joe Biden just opening the spigots of money as he left office.
Right,
he knew full well that Donald Trump was going to be looking at DEI programs and green energy nonsense and, you know, funding for illegal immigrants and looking at it critically. So Biden pushed as much of the money out the door as quickly as he could, as the days and even, I believe, hours before he left office. Trump is putting a pause on that. But yeah, I mean, sure, look, there is such a thing as a legal asylum seeker, where a individual really does fear political persecution in his country of origin. But that's not what brought us 10 million illegal aliens in the last 4 years.
Exactly.
The word asylum is being abused grotesquely, and Donald Trump and the Republican Congress are going to put an end to it.
Absolutely, Bob. Good answer there. Hey, did you know anything about this? This kind of caught me off guard.
OJ and OMB also found that there was about to be 50 million taxpayer dollars that went out the door to fund condoms in Gaza. That is a preposterous waste of taxpayer money. So that's what this pause.
I don't know what that's about. $50 million for condoms. Do you know anything about that and what the hell that's about?
I saw that, too. And I don't know what program that was going to go through, but I saw that. And was that Carolyn Leavitt's speech there?
Yeah, that was her in the press room.
Yeah, I mean, well, this just shows just how government can waste money on the most preposterous things. And give me a break. But yeah, I think we're going to be hearing about even worse than that over the next few months, and I think we're going to be appalled at what our tax dollars have been paying for. But you know, welfare, Medicaid for illegal aliens, mutilating procedures on our kids. Donald Trump and the Republican Congress are going to put an end to all this nonsense.
On the 50 million.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Million for condom front. Apparently, it appears as if some of this money was actually going to be used to send this to people in Gaza, and they've used those condoms in nefarious ways to float things over Israel. I don't know exactly how all that works, but there's some details here that are rather shocking when you look into it. Hey, one more question, Bob. Have you had discussions down there about disaster relief? I thought it was very impressive and the wise and smart move that President Trump not only visited California, but he first went to Helene victims in North Carolina. But obviously, in conditions are going to be put on California, this is going to be something that the federal, you and the feds are going to have to probably address. So is that being discussed down in Doral right now?
You know, we haven't discussed that very much. We've mostly been talking about the reconciliation bill, and I do not believe that disaster relief will be part of the reconciliation bill. It may be tied to debt relief down the road, but I don't think we know the full scope of the damage. But yes, I think we do need to put conditions on the disaster aid in California. It was disastrous policies by Gavin Newsom and the Democrats that made this wildfire disaster way worse than it would have been if it would have been at all. So it's time for some accountability.
Well, Bob, I appreciate it. Thank you. Enjoy the time down in Doral. Sounds like business is being conducted and goals are being set. And I think that's what the American people want. I will say this. Did you get to see that you were probably busy with some of the stuff that you're doing down there? Did you see Carolyn in that briefing today?
I did not. I read some quotes from it. I did not see her. I saw Donald Trump last night and J.D. Vance at lunch this afternoon. So,
yeah, you had more important things. I get it. But Carolyn did a great job. And by the way, speaking of great jobs, how about J.D. Vance?
Impressed by Carolyn.
Yeah, yes, how about J.D. Yes. Vance with Face the Nation, what's her name, the other day? Because that was pretty impressive as well.
It's incredible. We have the right people at the right time for this job.
Well, thanks, Bob. Good luck with everything. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
Congressman Bob Onder. I can play some of the audio that I didn't play before because Carolyn was real, real impressive in that briefing today. But there were a couple of things that I haven't really talked about that emerged from there. And I might have to get to it here in audio cut of the day because I'm finding not exactly what I'm looking for. I didn't talk about The View yesterday, though, Sue. Let's Mm-mm. let's address The View and what they're saying on deportations.
I think there's a very clear message as to what this president wants the look of a criminal migrant to look like, what an undocumented migrant. And I think that's racist.
Yeah, of course. Everything's racist for her.
They are also racially profiling in doing this. I am disappointed, disgusted, and saddened by what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I think that's Whoopi saying. What in the world is she disgusted by? You know what the rest of us are? This is what Sonny Hostin and the crew from The View, they don't get. The rest of America, 95% of Americans, even those who voted for Kamala Harris, were disgusted by millions and millions of people flooding across the border with no accountability whatsoever, committing crimes, raping women, killing women. Clearly, and I've said this before, and I think I have a perspective that might be a little unique. I haven't spent a lot of time in third world countries, but I've been to Honduras. I've seen how people live when they don't have water, running water, electricity, heat. And I understand, I do, I understand, I have a deep understanding of why someone would want to come to this country to make their life better, to make their life better for their family. But there is a process.
Yes.
And we have people who have gone through this process, they're very proud to be Americans, and it's taken some work. And they've also, you know, one of the things that doesn't get discussed ever when it comes to immigration, maybe now it will, is assimilation. And I think that, you know, it's incumbent upon people who come to this country, some people disagree with this, you have your culture, you have your language, but how about our language and how about our culture? If you want to be an American, let's kind of take a step at being an American. Some of that might be learning English. Now, that's a tough thing. I don't, Sue, this is racist, bigoted, all of those things, xenophobic. I just simply don't understand how someone could come to this country and be here for, and let's face it, we got baseball players who this applies to, been here for, you know, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and they don't speak the language.
Yeah.
That's their choice, of course. I'd have a hard time believing that if I would move, boy, I love it down there in Todos Santos, Mexico. If I retired down there, John Paul Jones from Led Zeppelin lives down there. You know, maybe we can hang out or something like that. I'd have a hard time believing that I'm not going to assimilate and learn the language so I can communicate with people.
Now, I know.
I get it. The tourist destinations, and if you go to Europe, you're going to find English is used, you know, a lot. But there's no attempt at assimilation. And I think that's a problem. I really do. I think it's unacceptable.
Well, it erodes American
Thank you.
If
that's
right. Makes sense.
That does make sense. Speaking of Americanism, that will lead us into audio cut of the day from Anthony Mackie, the new Captain America, who pretty much put the kibosh on some big box office for that movie. We'll explain coming up. Hey, how about this one, by the way? JoJo, Boss Skaggs. You weren't in here when I played the first half.
Get more at 971talk.com.